Glad to have with us Nate McMurray. Mr. McMurray is the endorsed Democratic candidate for New York's 27th congressional district. He is running against the incumbent Republican Chris Collins, the first member of Congress, as you remember, to endorse Donald Trump for president. He's a huge cheerleader for the president and his agenda. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. McMurray. Nate is a husband. He's the father of two sons. He's a native Western New Yorker. His family has roots in the region that trace back to colonial times. He's the son of a construction worker, a hard, blue-collar, working guy, middle-class guy, a mom who worked three jobs to hold their family together when his father died of cancer in his 30s. We have some stuff in common there. Nate is also an attorney, a successful business person, so he knows how to get things done. And for the past couple of years, he's used that know-how serving as the town supervisor of Grand Island. As supervisor, he's done more than most elected officials have done in their entire career, and that includes cashless tolls that clean air and save money, energy projects, conservation, infrastructure, and more. So why does he do all of this? Because he does what's right, not what's popular, and he fights for the people, the constituents, not his friends, and not the next election. We're hoping he will flip the 27th Congressional District, but he can only do it with our help, those of you that live in that district, to vote for Mr. McMurray, and of course, to write checks to help. We can certainly all write checks. You don't have to just be in the district. Nate McMurray, thank you for being with us, sir. Mr. McMurray, good afternoon. A pleasure. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. That introduction was humbling. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, well, you did all that, so you deserve it. Yeah, but it's nice to hear. Humble is something we don't hear much from politicians often, especially Republicans. Let's talk about, first of all, why did you decide to do this? And then I want to talk about your opponent and the recent events that have come to light, regarding Congressman Collins. So why, first of all, did you decide, hey, you know what, I want to do this. I'm going to throw my hat into the ring.
Well, I didn't like the direction of our country, and I didn't like this candidate. I thought that Mr. Collins had some clear problems. The news that came out this week is nothing new to anybody who lives here or who's been following it. We knew about this. I was amazed he was endorsed. And when I was starting to go around asking people about, well, I think I'm going to run against him, the consensus was he can't be beaten. And I said, if this guy can't be beaten with his history and his record, what's the point of even having elections? So I said, I have to run. I want to run against him. And it was a struggle. It was a fight because it seemed like a lot of people wanted to hide what he was up to. They wanted to pretend it wasn't true.
And people get lazy, right? I mean, we see that left and right with incumbents constantly being reelected. I wanted to mention, by the way, Nate was on the show back in April, and I know I asked you that question back in April, Nate. Good to have you back with us. The reason I did that, as you know, we have a new cycle of listeners all the time, depending on the season, the day, the time of the week. Talking about your opponent, talking about Chris Collins, who is a congressman, he is a wealthy man. I mean, he comes from wealth. He inherited a fortune. He does not know hardworking folks like your parents did not come from that. He also grew up in North Carolina. He's not from Western New York. He's not a homeboy to that constituency. He used to buy, even sell off struggling companies in his own district and around there in Western New York. He was voted out as county executive. And he's been congressman in the 27th district there in Western New York for a long time. How long has Chris Collins been the congressman in the district, the 27th district, which you hope to become a congressman for?
Well, he's been in for 6 years. And like you said, he's not exactly the favorite son around here. Not a lot of people are fans of him. They're not he doesn't have a rabid fan base. A lot of people say they can't stand him. But to your point earlier, it's not that people get lazy, I don't think. It's people are really busy. They're working hard. They're trying to put food on the table and take care of their families. And I think for him, is he staying under the radar because people just didn't know who he was, a lot of people anyway, because people were just too busy. But I think the news of this week has woken a lot of people up, and they're saying, wow, this guy was our representative, and I think there's going to be a change in November.
I'm certainly hoping there's a change in November. I don't live in that district, but if I did, you would have my vote. And I know many people listening in that district would vote for you. But, you know, it's easy for a Democrat to vote for a Democrat. So let's talk about the demographics of the 27th Congressional District. What type of people are in Western New York's 27th congressional district that you hope to be the congressional representative in Washington for. Is it, you know, largely red? How did it vote in 2016 with regard to Trump versus Hillary? Tell us a little bit about the background of the people of the constituency of the 27th.
Well, the people of 27th are like my family. They're hardworking people. They're people who don't cheat. They play by the rules. And they're people who believe in the American dream. They believe if you work hard every day, you're going to get a piece of the pie. They're not people like my opponent. They're people who are honest and good, and they want leadership that's honest and good. Now, to your point about the 2016 election, they voted for Donald Trump in huge numbers, and they voted for Chris Collins in huge numbers. And you're going to ask, well, how does that jive with what you just said? Well, it makes sense because you have to understand a lot of people here were desperate. And I think to a lot of people, it was a bit of a Hail Mary. He said, look, no one's looking out for our interests. We need to try something different. They wanted to have a voice. And I think at the very least, I think President Trump, he spoke to that desire. He said there's a forgotten man here. Now, I don't agree with the way he's trying to fulfill those promises. I don't think he is fulfilling those promises. I think he's betraying that trust. But a lot of people here believed in that because, as you know, people are working harder and harder. I meet people every day that have been working three jobs and in their 60s.
And Mr. McMurray, I want to hear about these people. We are up against a hard break, and I want to hear the story about these people working three jobs, and I also want to talk about what has happened with Congressman Collins and the reaction from the constituency, if any of that, because we know certainly, like Trump has said, he could shoot somebody, what, on Madison Avenue, and they would have voted for him, and I believe that. So let's talk about the loyalty, because you said in huge numbers they voted for Collins, in huge numbers they voted for Trump. How red is this district? Is it becoming purple? How flippable is it? We want to help Nate McMurray do that, the endorsed Democratic candidate for New York's 27th congressional district. I'm Leslie Marshall, back with him, back with you after this. We are back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome back. Good to have you with us here on the only true democracy in talk. Nate McMurray is the endorsed Democratic candidate for New York's 27th congressional district. He is running against incumbent Republican Chris Collins, the first member of Congress to endorse Donald Trump for president and a huge cheerleader for the president and his agenda. Nate, I'm sorry I had to apologize. I apologize for interrupting you before the break. You were telling us that you talked to people, and you said this district overwhelmingly voted for Trump, overwhelmingly voted for Collins. And it's hard to understand why with what you said, which is, you know, these are struggling people. You were telling us before the break about people you've talked to, and you're not saying a person, people that work two or three jobs. Please continue.
Well, as I said, I think they were throwing a Hail Mary, a lot of these people. I think people were not listening to them. They felt disrespected. They felt underrepresented. But I think now what I'm seeing is a lot of people feel buyer's remorse. They think, look, this isn't working. We need someone to represent us. And as I was saying, I meet people every day. They couldn't be working harder. They're working three jobs, and they still can't pay their rent or their car insurance. They can't pay for their diabetes medication. It's sad. And there's a lot of people on the other side of the aisle, powerful people. There's people who, lawyers and lobbyists, those people work to change laws, to fix the situation for their employers and for their businesses and for their corporations. We need people on the other side helping leverage the power of those who work every day. And that's what I want to do. I mean, empathy is important to me. And I'm not going to, you know, try to pick fights with people. I'm going to try to understand what they're going through and say, how can I help you out? That's what a representative is supposed to do. And I see a lot of pain out there, and I see a lot of stress. And these aren't bad people. These are people who are looking for representatives that will listen to them. And I think that's our opportunity. Mr. Collins didn't listen to them. He didn't have town halls. He didn't come here. He was absent. He got arrested in New York City, in his penthouse in New York City. I am going to listen to them.
They want less of the Collins who, they don't even live there. I mean, he doesn't live in the 27th. That's not his community.
He's never here, no.
Those aren't his people. Right. The people of the 27th, they see you at the post office, the supermarket. They see you getting a coffee somewhere or going out to eat. They see you with your family or maybe at a ball game. And if you're elected, sure, you're going to live most of your time, or at least 2/3 of it, in our nation's capital. But you are a plane ride back home, and you will go back home because that's where you're from. That's where you live. That's where your constituents are. And that's what you have to do, I think, really to be. You know, Judy Chu is my congresswoman. It used to be Adam Schiff at one time, Xavier Becerra, because my district has been redistricted three times here in Southern California. And I've seen all three of them when Becerra was not Attorney General of California, you know, out with their families, you know, doing things, you know, when they come back home. But obviously, and it just depends on the family, you know, some people, you know, because of school, their kids are in school in D.C. and then they come and spend the summer, you know, back in their state, their home state and district. Like for you, it would be New York, obviously, the 27th. But what kills me is that Collins also, like some of these incumbents really feel that they have it in the bag and they're resting on their laurels. They're resting on their relationship with the president. They're resting on areas where the president's done so well. And, you know, we're seeing that in Ohio. We're seeing that in other places where they're like, we got this. We got it in the bag. I'm not going to debate. You said Collins won't debate. I'm not going to host town halls. He's not going to host town halls. How do you know what your constituents want unless you host? If I were a congressperson, I would host a town hall. I think that's even more important than a debate. Because that's where you really are looking. You're face to face with the people. You're looking at them. You're hearing them. And you will debate him. You will host a town hall if you were in this position. And this amazes me. The guy doesn't live there. And he is not listening to the will of the people. How can you be an engaged representative with this constituency if you don't do that? Which is one thing I applaud you for, because that's one thing you are pledging and one thing you need to do. It's part of the job, I believe.
Well, if you're a public servant, you think part of it would be meeting with the public. And these guys live in these bubbles where they never want to see the public. And they have no idea what's going on in these communities. Look, this is a place that needs representation. It's a place that's been ignored for a very long time. That's a beautiful place. It's a place where my heart is or my soul is. And I'll be here. I'll be here talking to people. I'll be having town halls. Yes, I'll have to be in D.C., but you better believe I'll be back as much as possible, not because I have to, because this is where I choose to live and this is where I love.
I also like that you pledged to fight for the constituency, the demographics, which are the working men and women of the 27th District. We have seen that Chris Collins is really concerned about the interest of himself and of Wall Street. I want you guys to hear Nate McMurray when he was on the news, when he heard about Congressman Collins' arrest. If you weren't aware, at dawn, 2 days ago, Wednesday, Congressman Chris Collins occupied the safest Republican congressional seat in all of New York because of aggressive gerrymandering by Republicans. They drew the district lines back in 2010. Hours after dawn on Wednesday, serious questions began surrounding him and his future. Even as he vows to remain in office and on the ballot for the 27th congressional district election after he was indicted in Manhattan federal court on insider trading charges. This is Nate McMurray, our guest on the news when he heard of Collins' arrest. Take a listen.
But I didn't want to gloat. I didn't want to take some type of joy in the misfortunes of another person. And then I saw the press conference last night that many of you saw. And I'll be honest, my feelings turned to anger. Well, Mr. Collins does not understand what the right thing is. To explain this to you, what he did is he cheated on a test. If you get the answers in advance, it's cheating. And if he was the principal of the school and he took his son aside, who was one of the students, and said, hey, here's the answers, that's cheating. It's simple. You don't have to overthink this. He cheated to make his family rich. He doesn't think the rules apply to him. Cecily is a Republican. Now, a Republican woman who's been she's been a Republican her entire life. She contacted me early on. We met at a coffee shop, and she said, Nate, do you understand what this man has done? And she went through her brief that she wrote that helped start the investigation. And Cecily, you are a leader. And you're someone that thought beyond party lines, who thought about what's right and what's wrong. And that's the issue here today. We're not talking about progressive versus Republican, left versus right. That's news radio, that's talk show nonsense. We're talking about right versus wrong. Who's going to represent you? A guy who knows what it's like to struggle, to work dead-end jobs? A guy who cuts his own grass? Or a guy who's wheeling and dealing in illegal stock trades? The same algorithm that told them that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide told them that we didn't have a chance. We always had a chance. Now it's added kerosene to the fire, and we are going to win this. What? People are asking me these picayune questions about why don't you have more money in the bank. I'm like, why aren't you asking why he has so much money in the bank? We cannot let this guy win. If we let this guy win, it's going to be a shame for all of us.
And I got to tell you, there is reality. Mr. McMurray, I would imagine since you've even said that, you have more money in the bank. Am I correct in that, sir? And the reason I say that is, you know, there are groups. There are super PACs, the DNC, private Democratic funders, and other Democrats who are probably looking at you and this seat more seriously because it was considered a safe Republican stronghold until Wednesday morning. Am I correct in that?
You're correct. The whole infrastructure, the whole system is suddenly fired up. We got people coming to us from all over the place. We have more money flowing in the last 2 days than we have had in the entire campaign. It's really starting to happen because people see this is an opportunity to send a message that crime doesn't pay, that cheaters don't prosper. You know, I hate to use the language of drain the swamp, but this guy's been in the swamp so long he's got gills. And this is an opportunity to send a message to all those people that this doesn't go on anymore in our country.
You know, one thing I really love that you said, even though I'm a Democrat and we are a two-party system, and you have to work, obviously, if you're elected with the party that you're in to get things done. And quite frankly, Democrats historically have been the party of the working class and Republicans the party of the rich. That's just how it is. It's not my opinion. It's fact. But I love the fact that you talked in that piece to the news. And I know that you believe that your focus is on results, getting your constituents what they want. And I say that because some people out there are like, look at Connor Lamb. He's moderate. And people don't understand that New York's 27th district is different than the Bronx, where they want to abolish ICE. The 27th district may not have an opinion on ICE because, like you said, they're looking at working two or three jobs to put food on the table, and immigration may not, you know, even be in their top five or 10 categories or topics they care about. So I love the fact that you focus on your constituents and not about party affiliation. We're going to talk about the different topics that do affect your constituency, your district, that I hope really will be yours, because this is a flippable seat now. No pressure. Let's take some calls again, and let's go to Michael in the Bronx. Michael, quickly, question or comment for our guest.
Hello, Leslie, and hello to Mr. Murray. The question is that we've long heard the rhetoric of false claims that Democrats don't have a message to deliver. Now, based on the audio that you just played, shouldn't the message be that not only is this a referendum against Trump, but also raising awareness of a corrupt administration and party, that being the GOP, the defiance of the laws, the Constitution, and court orders? This isn't just Collins, but then we have Trump and Sessions defying court orders to reunite families they have separated. And just recently, Sessions deported asylum applicants after a federal court judge said all such deportations are suspended and had to order the plane that had the asylum applicants to be turned around just to save the mother and child on board.
Thank you, Michael. Nate?
Sure. Well, first of all, if I agree with you, this is unprecedented what's happened in our country. On the Republican side, the Republican leadership is betraying their base. They are taking them for granted. There is massive corruption. If you look at it, if you look at this Collins case, it touches the entire party. I mean, there's leaders all the way down in Texas that were dealing with him on these stocks. He was selling stocks in the House of the People. He was doing his own business in the House of the People, selling to his fellow congressmen. So do I think there's massive problems with the leadership right now? Yes. I think it's horrible. But when I'm talking about trying to unify people that are Republicans, there was a time where in this country where guys who looked like me wore Union jackets and proudly said, I'm a Democrat. We need to get back to that time. We need to get back to the time where we build our base. It's not binary. It's a sliding scale of beliefs. In your own household, or at least in my friend's household and in my community, people have all kinds of beliefs. You have Republicans and Democrats in the same table in every house in America. And I'm saying we can't look at things binary. We need to take people as they are and build coalitions. That's how you win. That's how you change the world.
Talk about some of the things that are important in your district. Agriculture, energy and the environment, infrastructure, and the opioid epidemic would be top three, four on the list, correct?
Those are some of the big ones. I mean, agriculture is huge here. This is the breadbasket of America. I mean, we have this. I mean, I'm someone who was able to travel a lot overseas. We have this beautiful land here. Any backyard in Western New York, you can grow things. I mean, my mom's growing so much zucchini. I can't deal with all the zucchini. I mean, people can grow things here. And we have this blessed and wonderful land, but all of our farmers are struggling. They haven't been represented. They're getting suicide prevention letters in the mail now because so many farmers are struggling, especially with these tariffs. They're just dying. So we need to fight for our farmers, and we need to treat that industry as important as it is. You talked about land for a second. A lot of people, your listeners, don't know about Western New York. But this place is beautiful. 80% of North America's fresh water flows by the island where I'm the supervisor. 20% of the whole world's fresh water. And then we have some of the biggest tourist attractions in the entire world with Niagara Falls. Millions and millions of people from all over the world come here to take a picture. So these are things we need to protect and we need to keep important and safe. And that's what I'm going to fight for.
And I want to concur. I was living in Miami, Florida. I got a job in Buffalo, New York. And folks living in Western New York, Buffalo and the surrounding area, forgive me for this for a moment. I was like, Buffalo, New York? Okay. That's thank you. Is that where you want me, God? I lived in Buffalo for 1 year, but my syndicated show was carried in Buffalo. Well, it still is for over a decade. Now online, but prior on different radio stations. I have never felt such a part of a community and welcomed to a community so fast. And to this day, there are people that will tell you, there are people that watch me on television, the people that work at Fox that will say, I'm from Buffalo, New York. Even though I'm from Boston, I'm from Buffalo, New York. That's how much of an impact the community has and can have when you are a part of it and you become a part of it. And, you know, different than a congressman, though, I had to become a part of it. I didn't know how to pronounce Cheektowaga when I first got there and places like that. I've been to Grand Island, and thank you for getting rid of the tolls. They were there when I was there. And I have to say, it is a beautiful area. And some places, Buffalo, Western New York, they get a bad rap. There's great people and a great sense of family, beautiful, fresh air, great food, a lot of fun. Club stay is open as late as they do in Manhattan, but you don't have as many crazies out there. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like you said, there's just so much to see. There's so much to do. And you really need somebody who knows the area, to represent, the people. Nate, I'm going to give you the last, 60 seconds here. Last minute. What do you want people to do and to hear from you?
Well, listen, I got to say to you real quick, Leslie, thank you for putting me on the show early on when a lot of people weren't focusing on this race. And thanks for your kind words about our home. I love this place more than any place in the whole world. I chose to come back here, and to hear you talk about it like that, it really is moving to me. And that's why I'm in this race. So if you guys want to learn more about what we're going to do for Western New York, how we're going to represent the people here, how we're going to fight for justice and fairness here, go to votemcmurray.com. Look, if we beat this guy, it's going to send a very strong message about where America's headed. We need to change the course that America's on. It's time to stand up. Go to votemcmurray.com. Do anything you can. Any support helps. And Leslie, thank you so much for your support.
And you have my support. I'll also be sending some money that way because that is my second home, Western New York and the great people there. Really, vote for Nate McMurray. If you're a Republican and Collins has not done for you, even before the arrest, what he promised, after this arrest, how do you vote for somebody who could end up becoming a convicted felon? And, you got to change, folks. Democrats have been the party of the working class. Nate McMurray's not about party. He's about his constituents. Vote for him. Let's flip the 27th. It is now flippable. We need 23 seats. It'll be 22 if Nate McMurray becomes congressman for New York's 27th. Do it in November.